Hey, this is Dakota from Paralandra, and you are watching CMS TV.
Yeah, you lazy fuck, so get over there and buy some picks and some cameos and all that other shit.
I'm going to have them at the shows, too. They are a little less at the shows because I don't have to pay to ship them. So the only issue is, like, it's been a struggle at the merch booth getting these in a spot where people can see them because they're kind of small and black.
Right.
And if it's dark, they're just kind of sitting in the corner. I'm going to make a new smaller poster. I had a poster that was a little egregious, and I don't blame them for shutting me down on it.
Okay.
It was so cheap, though, at Staples. It was only like 75 cents, and it was like a full-blown poster.
It was
like
bigger than Steven's poster for shirts or whatever.
Damn big. I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. And sure enough, they're like, yeah, you can't.
Sure enough, it didn't go. It stayed under the desk.
It never went. It never, ever went.
Nice.
And that's okay. I couldn't get mad about that. But I am going to try to make one that's more like just a 12-inch one.
So
people are aware of it. Because that's something I didn't anticipate when I designed the artwork. It's how black it looks. And you just don't see it sitting there on a black shelf at the shelf merch booth. Like, it's the last thing you're gonna see when you get up there, and you've already chosen you're getting the shirt. If you happen to look over in the far corner, these are just sitting there, and I don't know if anybody sees them at all. I am considering just having some with me too, where when I go out to do like an impromptu meet and greet, perhaps I could be out there, they could grab one from me too.
Hell yeah.
But only $20 there at the gigs.
You could do like Poison used to do. You could wear a sandwich board and just walk around. Hey, picks for sale.
I'm considering it, you know. I mean, I only made 200 altogether. That's all there's ever gonna be. And we're already sold half of those.
All right.
So I have the other 100, and so I'm hoping to this year be able to knock them out at these gigs this year.
Well, if he sells them out, folks, I'll sell you mine for $75.
I do. You know what I want to do too? I have enough of a surplus too. I can like throw out at least one or two at the shows, I think, to the audience.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, I thought, why am I not doing that?
Well, why don't you just open them and throw the individual picks out, and then six people go away happy. Mm. And then five of them might come up to the booth and buy the rest.
That's true. And this hand out, that throw out the empty container.
Yeah.
Here. You want the picks? You got to go buy them over there.
Yeah, exactly. But throw six individual picks out there, and then everybody gets one. People be happy, and then, you know, you just say, hey, come on, meet me over at the merch booth.
My only argument to that is this thing, yeah, they would see it much better in the audience that I'm throwing something that's a little more sizable. They can't really see when I'm tossing a pick.
Yeah.
Nobody can ever catch a damn pick, to be honest, Chris.
Well, there's like, that too, yeah.
Especially the older the audience gets. Like, I think when kids are young, they're like quick to grab it, but nowadays this shit just hits these boomers right in the forehead.
Hits them in the head. Bink.
They're like, oh,
what the fuck was that?
Yeah, I actually feel bad about it. It's like, it's distracting to me because I go, oh, that guy missed it. Oh, they didn't get it, or it went right past his head.
Yeah, you almost need to climb down and just hand it to him.
You know, they're all trying to look for it and they're not watching the show anymore.
Yeah.
Well,
that leads right into this last story, dude. Bruce Dickinson. He's out on his solo tour for his solo record, which people like. I don't, but
was he at the whiskey, like in the ticket booth I saw or something?
Yeah, he's doing smaller gigs for, I mean, he's Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden, for God's sakes. If you get a chance to go see one of these shows, I definitely suggest you go.
That's crazy, yeah.
I mean, I've seen Dickinson once. He played the World Series of Metal here in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And it was at the Agora, and the Agora had like a big room and a small room.
Right.
And he played the small room, which maybe held 400 people, maybe.
Yeah.
When he was doing Skunk Works. And that was cool as shit. Seeing Bruce Dickinson, and I was, you know, 6 feet away from him, maybe.
He had the bass player, I think, at the Whiskey from GNR that was playing in, I think, GNR for a while.
The girl?
Yeah, with the dread. Yeah,
I think she's in his band now, Tanya O'Callaghan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's also in Whitesnake, I believe. I'm pretty sure she's in Whitesnake as well. But
okay.
But so he's out in Brazil. He's doing his solo tour right now. And somebody started spraying pepper spray and shit in the air.
Oh, great.
And he stopped the show because he couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fucked. I mean, not for nothing, but if you're in the crowd and you're spraying anything, you're a dick. And quite honestly, if you see somebody doing that, punch them right square in the fucking neck. Just punch them in the neck for being so fucking dumb. Because that's just, not only is it dumb, it's dangerous.
It's going to make everyone run to the hills.
Oh, yeah. Or at least to 22 Acacia Avenue, if that's where the hospital is. But you know what I mean, man. It is dangerous. It's dangerous to do that. You don't, in today's world, somebody starts smelling, you know, that, you might get a stampede starting. Literally, definitely. People might get scared and not know what's going on and figure they don't know what's going on, but there's pepper spray. Maybe somebody's shooting in the crowd or something, so they just start fucking scurrying, and then you got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dickinson also, you know, he went after him. His quote was, "I can't fucking breathe. Tanya can't breathe. You with the fucking vape over there. Yeah, it's not you, but you know, please fucking do that outside, all right?" So he's, bottom line to this is he's bitching about smoke, vape, and pepper spray as well.
Maybe he has a long COVID from his shots.
He may, but
I can't breathe.
This is where my question comes to you. For you, you deal with this every week. You know as well as I do, the crowds have a funk, especially later in the show.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
The herbal kind?
The herbal kind or just the stink kind.
Yeah, it's a concert. It's the concert smell.
It's a concert stink.
Mm-hmm.
How much does that affect you guys? Like, are there times where you, like, play further back because the closer you get, it just smells like dirty laundry and ass? I mean, is that a real problem?
That's not a problem for us, you know what I mean? Steve would probably reference it if he smelled it. Hey, smells pretty good in here. Let me try that out. You know, I'd say something like that. I don't know. I think it makes a cool rock vibe, and you know, even the people that don't typically smoke get a little contact high, and the concert just gets a little better. I don't know.
But what about vaping? I mean, that's a thing now. What about vape smoke?
I don't think that affects other people, does it? The water.
It doesn't affect them per se, but it still could get in your eyes and, you know, make your eyes water and shit. And I mean, for you, like you specifically. You're playing lack of communication. You don't have time to be rubbing your fucking eyes because they get smoke in them.
Sometimes they get eyeliner in them, and it's like that comedy movie, that basketball movie Will Ferrell did.
Right.
Where they all put that, I think that was the one where they put on eyeliner to try to intimidate the other team, but then it got in their eyes. They're like, my eyes. That does occasionally happen to me.
Right. So how do you deal with that when you can't, I mean, you just kind of.
It sucks. I try to just like. Kind of squish it out with my thing with and then eventually if I get a chance I'll try to rub it out of there.
Right.
It's just using probably cheap eyeliner. I don't know.
And you just hope it doesn't happen like 10 seconds into a 3-song break.
It does suck. Sometimes it seems like it doesn't always happen, but when it does, it burns. It's like it burns.
Right. Dude, I always wonder that this is a fucking dumb question. I don't care. I'm just kind of silly tonight anyway, but what happens with the band if somebody's fucking like stomach goes bad mid set? Like if you know, cause and again, I think like this cause I'm weird, I guess, but
right.
I'm just thinking you guys are going from town to town to town. You're eating at all kinds of different restaurants. You really don't know what you're eating. You know, I mean, it's not, unless you're going to Burger King every day, that's kind of the same in every town, which I think a band, especially you, who's been doing this for 20 whatever years, I'm assuming you do try to explore and find something different to eat or whatever. What happens if you're halfway through a set and you're like, holy shit, those fucking barbecue ribs from lunch are fucking me up.
Well, typically, and I probably speak for most of the band, most of us probably don't eat a meal before the show.
At all? Like you don't eat all day?
No, we might have a break, go get some breakfast or have something in the afternoon, like a late lunch or something.
Mm-hmm.
But probably not enough that you would be having like diarrhea attacks constantly. I mean, there's times where we're certainly all of us at one point or another have had to like rifle one out right before hitting the stage. You know, right. I gotta go to the bathroom real quick or something. But I've never personally seen it in the band where somebody had to like, I gotta leave for a second, you know, or that's never happened with us. Steven eats really healthy. He's not likely to probably eat some nasty burger or something like that. Right. He eats a lot of fruit and like, I don't know. You can tell he doesn't eat a ton.
Right.
You know? I was going to say
he weighs 110 pounds.
I'm probably most likely for that because like where the rest of the guys might go to a nice restaurant, I'm so frugal, I'll like hit a fast food place or something.
Hey, Subway, great.
Yeah, you know, so I rolled the dice on occasion. There's places to avoid, you know what I mean? You don't want to be eating at the gas station.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I'd imagine a gas station burrito is not good pre-show food.
Right. I can tell you the show's a lot better if you do like make sure you go to the bathroom before you head out on stage, especially having a pee or something.
Right.
You do sweat out stuff too. I mean, if you're under the lights, I think that does do something, you know, just you sweating stuff out could make you not have to pee after a bit.
Right.
You just pee out your skin.
Do bands have, and it doesn't sound like your band does, but maybe other bands, do bands have like cues where they're like, holy shit, my stomach's fucked up. Let's go to the drum solo because I got to go take a shit.
Well, definitely, it seems like we've been working in drum solos this past year, but it's, you know, more so just for a little break, I think, for him. And
right.
He just does maybe a little costume change there, right. If you will, like change jackets or something, which is fine. Plus, when you're doing these headline sets, they want you to play like 75 minutes, sometimes 90 minutes in some cases. And you know, that's a lot. You know, Steven's going to be, what, 69?
Yeah.
68 or something. But he does, considering that, he always seems to get through the shows pretty well. But he has like started incorporating the drum solo. There's bands that have been doing that their whole career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drum solo, bass solo, guitar solos.
Yeah.
We have a couple points where we do a little bit of dueling and added some time onto the songs.
Sure.
As a patron though, I was never really into that. I have to be honest.
I hate it. To me there's nothing worse. Nothing.
Thanks. I
agree. Than especially a drum solo.
Right.
Cuz quite honestly, I'm a failed drummer that could do what most drummers do during a drum solo.
Yeah.
Could I Neil Peart it? No. But can I go faster? Yes. And I'm a failed drummer.
Right.
I cannot stand. And if you're going to do a drum solo, it needs to be about, what, 3 minutes?
3 minutes.
Not 20. Dude, I can remember. I still remember who it was. It was Whitesnake. It was Tommy Aldridge. He went for like 16 minutes.
What?
And I was like, fuck this.
Right.
You know, I call me an asshole. I always thought Eddie Van Halen went a little too long with his guitar solo, too. Now, I know he's Eddie Van Halen.
Right.
And I know I'm supposed to be appreciating seeing the work of God.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it was like, you know what?
It got longer and longer, I think, over Van Halen's career because he was always trying to like put some kind of instrumental on every record.
Mm-hmm.
And then they expected him to do that instrumental solo. So it just got longer and longer and longer.
Yeah. For me, it was always give me Eruption, maybe give me a little bit of 316 and get back into You Really Got Me, which is where they always seemed to incorporate the solo.
No Cathedral, Chris?
No. No.
I always dug the Cathedral part.
I don't hate it,
yeah.
But at the same time, I don't want to see a solo. I'd rather get two more Van Halen songs than a 22-minute solo from Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
I just would.
I saw a Miles Kennedy video the other day, and it looked like he had the bass player sing some songs.
Oh, in Creed?
Right. He got the Todd Kearns was singing. No, not in Creed.
Oh, in Slash.
Slash, sorry. Did I say Miles Kennedy? I meant Slash in the conspirators. In the
conspirators,
right?
Yeah.
Or is that what it is?
Yeah, that is. Slash featuring Miles Kennedy in the conspirators.
Okay.
Longest name in the history of bands.
How do you fit that on the marquee? That must take up the whole marquee.
You know how you do? You write Slash, because that's all that matters anyway.
That's right. So, but anyway, yeah, Miles Kennedy, who still sounds amazing, obviously, but mm-hmm. he gets a little break there in Todd. Sing some of the songs.
Yeah,
so that's always
Todd's been. I've seen that. I've seen them a few times. The Slash shows, and they've always done like Todd always sings like Mr. Brownstone. Mm-hmm. You know, he always kind of does the Guns N' Roses songs, and mm-hmm. it's a good break. And Todd's a really good singer himself. So
better than a drum solo.
Right? Oh, I'd much rather see another song. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of drum solo, and I've seen so many different variations on it, and I hate them all. Do you remember when Metallica was doing, they had two drum kits, and they had Lars on one and Hetfield on the other, like, soloing against each other like a drum battle? No. That sucked. I hated that. Godsmack did that, too, with Shannon Larkin and Sully mm-hmm. would have a drum battle.
What about Foo Fighters? Don't they do a bunch of goofy stuff too?
I'm not a Foo Fighters fan.
Although they did have the drummer with like Taylor Hawkins when he was alive. He would come out from the drums and sing some songs. But again, that's better than watching a full-blown drum solo.
Yeah,
he would do some Queen songs or whatever. They did. I mean, they had fun with it. And then because people did want to see Dave Grohl, which is a strange mm-hmm. phenomenon that he would most known for being a drummer first and then going on to Foo Fighters as a singer, but to get behind the kit one more time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it, but even that, 3 minutes. Yeah. That's what we need. 3 minutes. Give me a little bit of, you know, give me the first minute of Smells Like Teen Spirit. Then I realize, oh yeah, it's that guy. And then we're out. Then sing the fucking Mentos song or whatever, you know, whatever that song is called. I don't even know.
Everlong Monkey Wrench,
whatever. Mm. Give me those. I've worst of all, always, no offense to Matt Thorne or anybody else that plays a bass, but the bass solo is the worst.
Right.
No one wants to hear it.
No. You know which, but the one that I'm going to get crap for that is probably my most hated bass solo my ears just can't do is, rest in peace, Cliff Burton's bass solo. Bass
Orion solo, or whatever?
Yeah. Oh, man. No, it's the one he does before Whiplash.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, that's
the Orion one I love, where it's just, you know, those notes dragged out. But no, this is where he's got the full wah pedal. Whatever that was, it was, my ears have always hated that. I was always fast forwarded that.
Yeah, dude, I'm the same way. It's like, and I saw Metallica so many times, and they always did. They still do. Even now, they've changed three different bass players. All three bass players did 10 to 15 minute solos. Yeah. You know, honestly, the shortest solo of the three was Cliff Burton. Fucking Newstead's solo was ungodly long.
Weird.
It was so long that he would sit down for half of it. Mm-hmm. He would sit down and just be like, dum, 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 and it was like slow and stupid, and then it would work into something, but it was all like
that was every night down. Because I mean we've talked about this on the show before, but I certainly saw the Aunt Justice for All tour at Irvine Meadows, and I don't recall any guitar solos. I mean, that show is on YouTube.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing that, but maybe that's something they did if James was having a rough night and they didn't want to sing and they had to play for 2 hours.
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't dig it. I never dug it. And Robert Trujillo, I just don't want to see him doing Cliff Burton solos with a slap. No. I don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch him crab walking around the stage playing Cliff Burton solos.
Yeah,
I just don't want to see it. Give me two more Metallica songs.
They probably totally hate when people want to see Jason Newsted back with them, or just do you think? Have they just totally accepted Robert now?
I think, dude, Robert is. I'll say this about him, and I'm definitely Team Jason. Mm-hmm. You know, and I thought that Jason was the best replacement at the time, and I still think that, you know, he did great work with them, and quite honestly, they haven't written a whole lot of great music since he left.
Right.
I mean, if you really dig into it, the records that have come out after he left are what? Saint Anger, mm-hmm. The new one, 72 Seasons, Death Magnetic. They're good. They're not great. You know, they became a good band when they got rid of Jason, because the metal left the band.
The thrash was gone.
Yeah, the metal, the real metal guy is no longer in the band. Mm. And now they're doing Elton John covers. You do the math, you know. But I don't know, just bass solos in general. People that I really respect in the business, I don't want to see a David Ellefson solo. I'd rather see him doing... I'm much happier when I hear doom da doom 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 da doom. I'm like, yes, and then they come in with the song. I would not want to hear 20 minutes of doom 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 doom. No, I don't want that.
Sometimes the bass and drums can do something cool when they're both playing together, and it's at least kind of like a song format in the sense they're at least playing a groove together. That can work.
It can. I'm going to tell you what is also really annoying as a concert goer, and maybe you'll agree, maybe you won't, because you're on the stage more than you're a goer to shows. If it's a general admission show and you kind of had to fight for your place to get up to the front or near the front, there's nothing that sucks the life out of the show more than a solo where you're standing there overcrowded, got somebody's fucking elbow in the back of your neck, you know, because nobody wants to move to give up their space, but you're not enjoying anything on the stage. That is a terrible, terrible. And then when it's 15 minutes, it's like, Jesus fucking Christ, would you fucking play a song already?
We were talking about Motley earlier, and I do remember on the Dr. Feelgood, an egregious Mick Mars interlude solo? That went on, where he like was busting out like lap steel.
Oh yeah, I remember that too. And then at the end, the amps blew up or something.
I don't know if I remember that, but I just remember he was like sitting there doing, you know,
I think that was
slide stuff forever.
I think that was the Girls Tour. He did like the whole guitar solo with a slide.
Well, I didn't see Girls, but it was Dr. Feelgood.
So, I mean, okay, it was Feelgood then.
Yeah,
but I remember it. He did the whole guitar solo with a slide guitar,
sitting down or something.
Yeah, maybe. And then at the end, he was like standing in front of two prop amps, and the fronts of them blew off.
Oh, interesting.
And it was supposed to be like, wow, that motherfucker's metal.
Look at the cabinets off.
He blew up his speakers. That's the way you do it here in Motley fucking Crue.
Right.
Ugh.
The big thing, though, in their defense, though, I'd say the Tommy Lee drum solo was definitely something you kind of look forward to because you knew it was going to be the craziest thing you ever saw.
But it never was to see the solo. It was to see the spectacle.
The spectacle, exactly. But I mean, the amount of money that they put into his drum solo had to be a lot.
I mean,
roller coaster.
But to be honest, those weren't always great either. Like, was it the Girls Tour? I think it was the Girls Tour where he did the. It wasn't the full roller coaster yet. Theater of Pain.
Wild Side, that's right, was when it first started doing the spin.
Right. And Theater was just, it's flopped upward, like forward, and then it sat down. And then Girls was the spinning cage. So I guess it would have been Feelgood was when it went out.
Right.
And it turned on that thing that was over the crowd.
It was in the rafters. It came over and everybody got to see him for a second. Yeah.
Which was cool to see, but I'm going to be honest. The drum solo sucked more than any, because it wasn't. It was just triggers of other people's solos. Right. It was him playing Led Zeppelin and him playing, you know, other shit. It was not a good drum solo at all.
But maybe looking back on it, I know you just sparked my memory of being there I remember thinking that was kind of cool because we loved all the songs that he was doing it
with. I hated it.
And at least we were hearing Back in Black and hearing these things he was doing. But I remember it was like an electronic drum pads, I think. I don't even know if he had a whole kit, huge kit, that thing, because probably didn't want to have it be too heavy with shit. I don't know. Oh, you might, you have it here from that.
I'm looking right now.
Okay. It would have been 1988, I think.
Yeah, 88, 89, something.
Drum solo, Girls, Girls, Girls tour.
Yeah, I'm finding all kinds of 2000. Oh, here we go. 1989. Oh. See, wait a minute. That's the guitar thing blowing up.
Is that right there?
It's right there. Let's play that again. What I remember about this was it was cool to see, but it was boring as shit to hear.
Right, right. It took a long time for him to start moving, I remember. Mm-hmm. And the thing might have got even stuck at some at certain point. He'd have to get out and go, hey, I guess I'll drink a beer.
Yeah.
But that's funny because I did remember it wasn't a whole drum set, and here we go. They made some weird ZZ speaker contraption.
But look at this. It's 13 fucking minutes.
13 minutes. Wow.
13 minutes.
Exactly.
That stinks. I don't care what he's doing. That's too much.
That's a long time to be off the stage and have to go back out. Because my adrenaline, like everything, kind of subsides, you know, when you step off stage and you kind of come off your duel. And it'd be like running a race and then, okay, let's go back out there and run a race again. You know, it's like you almost want to be done when you're done. But to be done 10, 20 minutes and have to go back.
And you go backstage, you sit down on a couch or something, right? You don't just stand there holding your guitar, right?
Well, no, no. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I do stand there, but I don't know if I sit down or not anymore. But
if you had a 13-minute drum solo in between, if Blas said, you know what, I got to do the 13-minute drum solo. Right. And he kicks it off halfway through the set. You're going to go backstage and stand there waiting for 15
no, I would
minutes?
Be right. I would have to sit down. No,
you would sit down on a couch somewhere. Yeah. And then like 10 minutes in, Jason would come over to you guys and go, okay, guys, 2 minutes. And you'd be like, fuck.
Ridiculous.
Your first reaction would be, fuck, I got to go back out there.
Well, take
yes
us to
or
the-
no?
I know. I agree. Let's take us to like the 10-minute mark or the 12-minute mark.
Let's see what he's doing here. Here's 9:51. Let's see.
When he starts moving on the coaster.
All right.
The great space.
Oh, we're too far.
Lasers.
Let's go back. Oh yeah, here's where they're playing the. This is where they're playing the samples. And he's doing what is that song? It's a girl in the boat. Everybody, whoa, yeah,
like right. I think Blotzer tried to do something like this too around this time, where he had tried to. Him and Tommy knew we were friends. And, I don't know. He also had some triggers of weird sounds and stuff he was trying to do for his solo. Right.
Well, they never did anything with their drum riser, though, did they?
I don't know if they had something with the riser, but Bob Blotzer definitely had a solo. And I remember Steven saying that he didn't want to do a long solo, Bobby. But sometimes when those guys were partying, they go, play longer.
You know? Yeah, right.
I've seen Steven do that. Where they go, keep playing. That sucked. Do another one.
Yeah, keep going. let's watch a little more of this.
Ballroom Blitz.
Yeah. So you know what I remember about this solo thing? I remember thinking Tommy Lee's one of the best drummers in the world. Why am I watching him play fucking 70s songs that I could play? I could play Ballroom Blitz.
That's a dumb one. Yeah.
You know, that's not a hard song. It's just not, but...
Never really liked that song for some reason.
It's not that good. I'm with you on that. I think it's party time here in New Jersey. I think so, Tommy. Woo! Crappy song. You see what I'm saying? It's a cool spectacle, but it's a shit solo.
Right.
It's really bad.
He picked some real stinkers.
Yeah. Dude, where do you think all the roller coasters are now? Do you think Motley has their own like storage place somewhere?
That stuff gets dismantled. Sometimes other bands use pieces of it. And then, I don't know, it just ends up in a landfill probably somewhere. I had a video. I don't think I posted it, but it was from the U2 tour and from like 2009, where they had this like robot spider.
Yeah, that big spider thing. I remember
that. Big spider, right. Well, now the spider is in Utah. In like Salt Lake City, just there's some kind of nature preserve or some kind of thing that's across from this place where we were playing, and there it was on the other side of the freeway, just standing there, just sitting there.
And like, what's it for? Is it so they can grow vines and shit off of it, or I mean, is that what they're doing?
No, yeah, I would have to maybe next week I'll send you the video just to reference it, but or you know what I'll do is I'll put it on the Eric Ferrantino's page.
Yeah, there you go. Put it there. Tonight.
And show it to you. It's funny.
Hell yeah. No, that's dude, it's really interesting to me because I mean these guys spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on their staging and they only used them once. Like I remember, you know, since we're talking about Steven a little bit, I remember the Rat tour, I think it was 85 maybe, when the whole stage was like mirrored. And like every time the lights would go everywhere, the mirrors were just going crazy with the lasers.
80 people would get blinded.
Yeah. But I remember, and I just remember that. I was like, that's the coolest shit ever. Like I loved it. And the only thing I could even equate close to it was Blue Oyster Cult used to have mirrors on the back of their guitars. Yeah. Where they would flip the guitars over and shoot the lasers out to the crowd, which was kind of cool too. I saw them once do that, but I remember that Rat stage, and I'll be honest, I don't remember shit about the show, but I remember that stage. I don't remember them playing. I couldn't tell you a song that they played.
Right,
but
everybody
partied
back then. It was like everybody was loaded back then when they went to the rock shows, and you forgot they sprayed forget me smoke.
They probably did. But yeah, I just wonder where all that staging is now. I mean, does Steven cut some of that up and turn it into a mirror in his house, or you know?
I mean, I could ask him and find out what happened to the mirror stage, but from what the little pieces he's told me, you know, sometimes those stages get recycled by certain bands,
right?
You know, they get a chance to like, oh, the Scorpion stage, they're not using that. And then maybe an up-and-coming band might take pieces of it and kind of reconstruct their version of it.
I would just be curious, and you can ask him whenever you see him, but have they ever bought, in the day, did they ever buy, I don't know, this piece of Striper's stage and this piece of Bon Jovi's stage.
They did, or Kiss probably. Or something. I think they did. I'll find out exactly. I don't
want to know. I'm just curious to know. And how do you make that decision? Do you watch a video, like a home video, and go, God, I'd like to have that fucking, that ramp or that, that drum riser or whatever.
Well, the bigger bands would definitely have the thing constructed. They would have their idea of what it is. But then afterwards, you got this awesome stage, and it's dismantled or what have you. But what do they do with it? They're not. They're going to not use it the next year. Another band in LA maybe gets a chance to get it from that company.
Sure. Do they put it like on auction or something? Is there like a place that rockstarstages.com or something?
I don't know if it was so much an auction as, you know, the labels and stuff knew that this place probably handled the staging. Like there was probably, I don't know how many staging companies there were back then in the 80s, but I would imagine there was a handful. And bands could probably inquire within, you know, seeing what's available staging wise for their tour. Now, if you're an opening band in the 80s, you know, you're not going to have too much staging to work with, but I don't know. People made the most of it. Metallica comes to mind. Master of Puppets sticking those stupid crosses out. They would have their little ego ramps and stuff they would put out.
That's funny. Yeah. I'm just always curious because I don't know any of this stuff. You know, I'm learning on the fly here with all this stuff. You're my conduit to learning on things I don't know.
I will. I'll remember to ask him when I see him this week. Yeah. I'll see him on Wednesday.
Well, there you go. Well, why will you see him on Wednesday, Eric?
We've got three in a row, a three banger, Beacon Theater, Hopewell, Virginia with Faster Pussycat on Thursday, Friday, Elevation 27 in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And then of course, M3 on Saturday, opening for Queensryche.
Okay. You excited for M3?
I'm very excited. And I'm glad we have like two shows to get all our quirks ironed out that we're still working out.
Yeah. How long are you guys playing at M3? An hour?
Yes, M3. We're going to do the Out of the Cellar record plus maybe a couple songs.
Okay.
The other shows, I just got the set list today. So these are three Out of the Cellar gigs. So you're going to get Out of the Cellar in their entirety. And then on those first shows, I think we play longer. So we'll be able to play some more rat hits and stuff.
Okay. Very cool.
As well. Yeah.
And if people want to see you at M3, if they want to see you at any of these shows, get there on time. But what time, especially for M3 when there's 9 million bands playing, what time are you guys playing? 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock. Yep. Right. Which is prime spot, I think.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's when the sun is still, it's like going down. So you start kind of in the light, but you end up in the dark. So once by the time you get sweaty, it's all dark. Yep. Yeah, that's rocking. Mm-hmm. Well, very good, man. I hope the shows go well. I hope the gigs do well.
Yep.
So you could catch Eric in those places. You can catch me in all my places. Classic Metal Show on Saturday, Seth's show on Wednesday, Seth's show again on Monday.
I watched Seth's show today. It was great.
Oh, with Todd Tucker.
Well, I watched the first. You know where it got me was when you showed the video of the dude getting shot in the balls or whatever. It's a bit much, but it was still good. The show's getting good.
That was that just looked painful.
But the show's come a long way. The Seth show's a good watch these days.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm glad it's a good watch versus the old days when it was a bad watch.
No, it's good. It's just like our show. When I watch early episodes of Us, I think it's terrible. You know, everything I had going on was awful.
Well, we had to figure out, you know, we had to figure out our chemistry too. And it's not as easy as just, hey, turn it on and let's go. You know, you got to kind of learn each other a little bit, you know, and learn quirks and learn, you know, stops and language and everything else. It's not simple, but all right. Well, we are getting out of here. I am like falling asleep. I don't know how I've stayed awake this long. I told Eric before we started, I said, we're doing a hard hour. That's it. I haven't slept. I need to go to bed. And here we are at 2 hours again.
The sun's still out here in San Diego. Susan and I are going to go for a walk, watch the sunset.
That's cool. Well, for people that are going to catch this in replay, the replay when I add the interviews in, we will have a guy named Andy Henson, who's a new guy, guitar player, vocalist. He will be featured tomorrow if you tune in to the website. And My Dying Bride, who's been a lot in the news lately because they're banned. Seemingly minutes after I interviewed the guy from the band, their band imploded. No. So, and even on this interview, he was like, this fucking is horrible. You know, he was like, I hate this band.
And we'll be back. You're going to do this thing on the 7th. With
It's not confirmed yet. I gotta confirm with Neely. I got to confirm with Todd.
Okay.
But that is the day that is out there. It was the 7th.
Okay.
So, but we'll let everybody know on that a little bit. Within the week, it'll be posted what's happening there. All right, let's get fuck out of here. For Chris Aiken Presents, I am Chris Aiken.
I'm Eric Ferrantinos.
And the two of us are Gonzo. See ya.
Seth and Chris don't say it enough, but the best place for everything associated with The Seth Williams Show is their website, www.thesethwilliamsshow.com. You can watch all live episodes of the show live right there on the site. You can get past shows in both audio and video on demand formats. You can join our exclusive VIP programs on Minds and Super Chat right from the page. You can also purchase all the best Seth Show merchandise on the page as well. Bookmark it today, www.thesethwilliamsshow.com.